WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
That's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
You have another son.
Another tooth, are you kidding me?
Sometimes it's a double hitter.
Come on, just tell me where the tooth is so I can get it and just go home.
Oh, no, not until the child falls asleep. Until then, I'm afraid you have to wait.
Omega.
I'm just here for the tooth, sir. I'll just hand over the tooth. Nice and easy.
Mace.
Hey, who are you?
I'm the Tooth Fairy.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
You can't handle the tooth! And that's the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network on a week where TNA has a new deal. WWE has the lowest viewership in a long time. It's kind of weird to see one company kind of up, one down in the other direction. And this is kind of backwards, so we have things to talk about. I'm still rushing to finish my dinner because I forgot we are a host short, so I don't have time to eat. So I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes, somehow we have time-traveled back to probably about 2007, when WWE has low ratings, TNA has a new TV deal, and they're supposedly sending over people Thursday night to speak TNA to people that we have on this network. So, yeah, we are pretty much back in probably about 2007, 2009.
Excuse me!
Oh, God.
He's not here. That was the sound clip.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, it's sound clip. Oh, rock sound boring. I apologize.
Oh, I like it tight.
You know, people worry when Tim's not here, so, you know, gotta give him a little bit of Tim.
He's not here. He's currently damaged somewhere. Send him a lot of text messages.
Excuse me!
I know he loves that clip. So, you know.
It's the one that will never get replaced on this network, no matter how much he complains.
Yep.
And even if I delete it, it's on a soundboard on the interwebs. So it can never go away. It's amazing.
Wonderful thing about the internet, where your greatest embarrassments are there for all eternity.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's why I try not to be on the internet. Oh, wait. This is not working.
And one more.
I mean, look at me. I'm a lesbian.
He wishes. Can this just be the first hour, like us reacting to sound clips of him just because he's not here to defend himself?
No. You guys actually have to talk wrestling.
Why? We never do any other hour.
All right, go talk geek shit. I don't, it's up to you guys. You guys are doing the first hour, so whatever you guys want to talk about.
I'm just the producer. I don't give a fuck.
I didn't put together the show. Tim put together most of the show.
I just record this shit.
I record it and I edit it, you know. It's on you guys to carry it.
Since when?
Since the intro went back to 2007, apparently.
God, have we really been... You've been really counting on us for that long? Wow, you're an idiot.
Oh, come on,
Tim. The scary thing is, I think 2007 is the time that we, all three of us, or four of us in a relative sense, actually started doing this show together.
He goes, did you forget that I do have TuneIn? Enjoy doing the full show without me. Oh, Tim. We kid because we love.
Kid because you're not here to defend yourself.
You know, fine. To make it up to Tim,
My bunghole itches because I'm a girl.
See? Everyone has a clip, okay?
Oh, wow. He had full-out no TL clip.
So there you go.
Now, have you got something for Omega? Just because, you know, you've now done one for Tim, you've done one for me. We didn't
Where
Omega
are my
clip.
Big poofy balls, Rock?
Big poofy balls.
Thank you.
Oh, God, your mic was terrible back then.
Oh, yeah. I have upgraded a little bit.
Can I bitch now?
Dear God, that was the old headset I had, and I thought it sounded so good. Wow.
It's amazing what, you know, I think at least 7 to 8 years plus a couple of $100 worth of audio upgrade has done for all of us. So do you have a clip of yourself, Rock, just so we can complete everything?
No, why would I clip myself? I don't need to.
Yeah, of course. He who does the clips does not clip himself.
And why would I have to clip myself when I talk anytime? So it doesn't matter. I'm on all the shows.
Yeah, pretty much. You are on all the shows. So. This is not the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is the Rock Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And as Omega mentioned in his intro about, you know, having a teen, I guess, or Mason, I should say. Thursday, Ethan Carter III. We talk Cats in Order with EC3.
I can't remember if he's actually due down here later this month, or he was here last month. I can't remember. I know he's doing an Australian tour at some point in the next sometime.
It depends on if TNA can afford the ticket.
It won't be TNA sending him.
He's on a TNA paycheck, so it still applies.
Actually, no, a lot of that's actually done down here through House of Hardcore, Tommy Dreamer's promotion, because for some reason he likes to send people down here on his behalf. Supposedly we're getting Angelina Love and Abyss next year.
Hmm. Angelina Love is surprising.
Yeah, I was surprised at that too. See, very disappointed it wasn't Velvet Sky, but
it's more surprising since she's pregnant and will be a mother and she wants to travel to Australia. You know, that whole thing.
Hey, she put out the thing saying she was coming down next year. I'm not in charge of booking.
I'm just saying it was surprising. Not you know, she can do whatever she wants. It's just surprising.
Yeah, fair enough. Do we really want to actually talk WWE at this point? Because it's not like anybody actually watches it now.
That's a segue. You guys should talk about the first up topic Tim wrote.
Shit.
I don't know. We could always go win-fail.
You could. You can go against the format. Because, you know, someone wrote no win-fail, but you could be rebels. And you could have
a rage against the system. Do what we always do.
You can if you want.
You know what, screw it. I believe it or not.
New Day. Fail fucking commercial for Tex-Mex.
That's the one thing Omega wants to talk about, so go forth.
I think I mentioned some point last night that anyone responsible for that commercial, I want to take out into a field and set them on fire in front of their children. I'm not a fan of that commercial. That was possibly one of the dumbest things I had ever seen in my life. And
what, you don't like it? LJB Torito?
No!
You don't like the little bull with a cowboy hat?
No! I also don't like Mr. Hall of Pain obsessing over a fucking hamburger!
You do realize that's Mark Henry, the man that we have made fun of many times about KFC!
I know! This is a guy whose theme music says, somebody gonna get the ass kicked. No, they're not! He's lining up for a fucking hamburger! It's embarrassing. Like, it's just, like, baseline stupid. You know why? Because he's fat. That's the only reason that he's in that commercial. He's fat. Everything else about putting him in that commercial makes no sense. Other than he's fat.
Because he's Mark Henry.
Any of Mark Henry's characters ever were like that, though. Like, even Sexual Chocolate wouldn't have made sense doing that commercial. The only thing that makes sense about him doing that commercial, he's fat.
So you're saying it would have worked better with the Big Show?
Honestly, yes. Because he's done the goofball gimmick before. Like, other than, like, right now, where he has, like, absolutely no personality other than I'm big and I'm old.
Fair enough. Could have been worse. I could have gone with Bray Wyatt.
The eater of Tex-Mex.
Now there's a gimmick.
Okay, oh, what? Who's the commercial for? Like, I forget the fast food company that was. I stopped caring by the time they actually said.
I thought it was Tex-Mex.
No, Tex-Mex is a style of food. It wasn't the fast food place that actually had it.
Okay, because yeah, like, I saw the commercial. Surprisingly enough, that actually played over here, but I didn't know the name of the restaurant. I thought Tex-Mex was the restaurant.
No, no. Tex-Mex is just a thing we have. It is, like, that's the whole point of the commercial. It is Texas food kind of mixed in with Mexican food.
Supposedly it's Hardee's and Carl's.
Okay, Hardee's and Carl's Jr., yeah. That's the other fun part about America. We have the same place that's named different things in different parts of the country. So good luck figuring that shit out.
That's okay. We seem to still have that same type of convention here with Hungry Jack's and Burger King. Same restaurant, different names.
So you have actual, like, Burger Kings in Australia, but you also have Hungry Jack's?
Yeah. Mind you, the Burger Kings are rarer to find than Hungry Jack's.
Fucking weird. Like, I understand not taking the international name over, but this is, like, in the same fucking country, and it's too, I'm getting off track. It's a fucking stupid commercial.
You're becoming Rita Repulsa. You've got a headache.
I was actually rubbing my head as I said that, because it's like, oh my god. I've reached out to think about it.
It does hurt.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like, the New Day, so on point this week. So on point.
The new day is always incredible.
You had Monday with the 1 year anniversary thing with Big E with his little pink cowboy hat and his scarf. That was hilarious. And then, of course, you had SmackDown, and this was the only reason I fast-forwarded through SmackDown, was the Thanksgiving potluck dinner with Heath Slater and his Slater Slaw, the Ascension being kicked out, Adam Rose rocking up with Bunny Stew, and Big E's reaction was like, not the bunny! You didn't do the bunny! I lost it.
Oh, God.
And then finishing it off with Xavier Woods dressing up as the Gobbly Gooker.
I did miss SmackDown. I have to go back. I forgot New Day was so on point during that episode, so now I have to go dig it up now.
Oh, yeah, you've got to. It'll probably be up on the YouTube channel. Like, it was... Oh, that was just absolutely hilarious. And to be honest, that's the only thing I really watched all week, wrestling-wise, was if it had the New Day in it, I watched it. Other than that, it got fast-forwarded.
God, this isn't even the only time we're talking the New Day, according to the run sheet, which we've already defied.
Because we are the defiers of the run sheet.
I kind of want to wait for Tim to get back because he still cringes at the New Day.
That's okay. Like you said, we have more opportunities to talk New Day throughout the evening, so once Tim gets here, we'll make sure he talks about the New Day.
Indeed.
But in the meantime, let's all laugh at TNA. No, I mean WWE. Raw dropped below 3 million viewers this past week after a slightly above average Survivor Series. This is no good.
I might have more viewership on YouTube this week than they did.
Congratulations, that's a lot of ad revenue.
Not enough.
Hey, if you're doing more numbers than Raw, that's quite a few million people.
I wish.
You'd be making that PewDiePie money.
PewDiePie. God,
I put in
so much work and intelligent writing into the shit I do, and then I find out stupid shit like that is what takes off. Like, fucking hell.
Yeah, I know. Scripting, editing, actually giving a damn about what you're putting out there, and you have an idiot playing a video game and acting like a dumbass for the camera. And that's what takes off.
All right,
we're seeing people are stupid.
Yes. Yes, they are stupid. They're smart enough not to watch Raw lately, at least.
Yeah, that's a big surprise, actually. Like, I was expecting some sort of drop in the ratings. I wasn't expecting this badly.
Yeah. What was that, a 300,000 people dropping off?
Something along those lines. I don't have the exact numbers. Rock, number man. Of course, he's probably walked away from the computer by now and just let us talk and ramble on, because, you know, there's probably a football game or something for him to watch.
Of course.
Yeah, watch my football game for the day. Seahawks won. Yay.
Thank God you keep your football talk to that.
Pretty much, because I know you don't talk sports ball, so.
God, last night during Cars, I swear to God, is like listening to World of Warcraft talk all over again.
Yeah, I haven't done that in quite a while, so. Yeah.
I'm thankful for it.
It's because Bug's not here to talk with. Mainly, he doesn't play it either anymore, so. But yes, as we keep sort of changing, Raw ratings.
This just gets disgusting. For starters, like, I'm really happy they put the belt on Sheamus and then the ratings completely tanked. Because they've kind of gotten past the point of, well, That wasn't shock. That was just stupid. Like, I want someone in the back to go, okay, they just adamantly said no to what we just did.
Yeah. And I was able to pull up the numbers. 2.964 million viewers down from last week's 3.293 million viewers. The last time it dropped this low was in 1997.
Wow.
Yeah, and like, there's been plenty of theories as to why. Like, suppose we go, you know, people did it as a way to protest against Sheamus getting the belt, and some people are just sick of the current product and stories. Also, supposedly, Monday Night Football played a part. I believe there was some awards show on last week as well, so, you know, that's also theory.
There might have been a combination of a lot of little things. I think, in general, audiences just... You know, like, the audience are just going to keep getting sick of the things they're doing. I mean, how long can you go seeing your heroes lose? Like, how many times do you have to watch, like, the people you get invested in, the people you start cheering for, just get completely shit on? Like, not even to the point where they're not even, not just to where, oh, well, they lost it. They lost the championship match. Oh, well. But getting fucking nothing. Like, this time last year, look at Dolph Ziggler. 4 eliminations in the Survivor Series, you know, single-handed, you know, basically responsible for putting the Authority out of power. It was like the one last big hero moment we got, and nothing. Did absolutely nothing.
Yeah, like, and it's like, all of a sudden, we're also recycling the exact same storyline that we had not even 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns screwed out of heavyweight championship for the Authority's boy. This has gotten so bad that I've seen actual threads on Facebook where people are going, you know, The Miz wasn't a bad champion.
Well, that was the thing. Like, The Miz was on his own. He didn't need the Authority. He didn't need some, like big scary faction behind him to be a villainous champion. He just was. He had Alex Riley in his corner. Like, how villainous could he be? But they built him well. Like, they actually worked to make him credible leading up to WrestleMania. You know, they're really not doing a whole lot of work on anyone right now. Like, I know this was kind of last minute because of, like, literally is last minute. They chose Sheamus the day of the pay-per-view to win the title. And I don't get it. I don't. I know this is just kind of like a thing because Seth Rollins got injured, but there's no build to it. There's nothing about Sheamus. Like, Sheamus should have looked like a contender just because he had Money in the Bank at all times. And he was treated like a joke.
It seems to be a continuing trend for everybody who wins Money in the Bank.
Didn't used to be.
Yeah, pretty much. But I seem to like to think that this is the idea of everybody's just getting sick of the same shit. Like you said, you know, how many times can we see the hero of the story continue to get knocked flat on his ass?
Right. You know, we're told that it's good versus evil, and, you know, no matter how much the good guy's backed into a corner, eventually, you know, evil will not triumph. We've had a heel champion for 15 months in a row, and even when the Authority's lackey gets injured and has to drop the title, the Authority just picks up a new lackey. And this lackey comes with his own minions. Sweet, twofer.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I've still been working on the theory that, at least leading up to Survivor Series, the second Seth got injured, everybody that hates the idea of a Roman Reigns title run stepped back and said, we've got nothing else. You know, this is our only hero of a story. We might want to sort of step back and let him go for it. You know, they were ready to accept Roman Reigns as champ, despite the fact that it was even reflected in the Survivor Series ending. When Sheamus got the belt and walked off, they were booing that heavily, to the point where they had to play Roman Reigns' music over the top to drown out the crowd noise.
The scary thing about that is the whole reason they did it is because they knew how badly that would go over with the audience. Like, they knew that nobody wanted Roman as the champion, to the point where they will even accept Roman Reigns as champion instead of Sheamus. That's just how bad Sheamus is right now. They knew that would be the response and the reaction. And it's another attempt to get Roman over, not by making Roman look better or by using Roman correctly, but by comparing Roman to something even worse. Well, we wanted to put the title on Reigns, but this is what we have now. You could have had Reigns, but no.
Yeah, and that's what it makes it almost sound like it's the crowd's fault that Reigns didn't get the title at this point. Sure, Reigns would have got the belt, and you still would have had Bruce that night. But you had a chance to warm Reigns to the crowd. You know, you could have done something completely out of left field and let Ambrose have the belt, and people would have gone home happy.
You could have done anything else than what they did, and the crowd would have gone home happy. You really did pick like the absolute worst thing that they could do. And I normally kind of try and temper something that pessimistic. It's like, okay, well, maybe it's just not my thing. Maybe someone else this was thing. No, this was universal. Everywhere I look, all my sources of wrestling said this the same thing. This is the dumbest fucking thing that they had ever seen.
It's so bad that they have Mick Foley, who for the most part of this year has been one of the WWE's biggest cheerleaders that isn't sitting there under contract, turning around and saying, you know what, I might start watching Monday Night Football again because sick of seeing the guys who should have a shot not getting a shot, or, you know, people that we don't want to see being shoved down our throats.
Yeah, the guy willing to throw himself off the Hell in the Cell for this company no longer wants to see this company.
Yeah, it's sad when longtime supporters of the product and some very staunch WWE defenders start turning around and going, let's see what else is on.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you start turning away your hardcore fans, this is when companies get in trouble and have a very high chance of dying. I'm not saying that WWE is going to go the way of, you know, TNA, where they're going to be hopping from network to network praying that they could draw something over a 1.0 every week. Because, let's face it, it's the WWE. I doubt we're going to see them ever drop below a 2.0 rating. But you're starting to lose a lot of fans in massive, massive droves. You know, as anyone with a calculator would have noticed, 300,000 people is a big drop.
Yeah. If any other cable show dropped, you know, outside of Monday Night Football, dropped that many viewers in 1 week, there would be panic in every office. I think we've actually wondered before, like, what's eventually going to be the breaking point? Like, how bad can it get before this really starts showing? And now it really is showing.
Yeah. They're at that tipping point where they've started going downhill fast, but they don't seem to see the brick wall at the bottom of that hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as they keep going down that hill, more and more fans are jumping off the wagon, and that drop is getting faster and faster.
Yeah, because they keep, you know, the sad thing is, like, the storyline we're got going with the best for business bullshit really is what's going on here, because they want Reigns as the champion because he has the look they want. He looks like a WWE champion, so we're going to make him WWE champion. Never mind that he's got less moves than John Cena and all of the personality of one of John Cena's wristbands. Mick's the one who started talking about it. Like, how many times can you see your hero lose? You know, like, I feel like, God, it's okay. Ready your soundboard, Rock. I feel like a princess. I feel like a princess who keeps falling in love with suitor after suitor. This is the person I want, you know, at the head of the kingdom, only for the king to take them out, you know, take them out behind the castle, have them executed, and then have the same suitor forced on me over and over. Like, and be told, no, we have an arranged marriage for you, because that's what's best. Fell in love with Ambrose. No. Boom. Like old Yeller. No, we have Reigns for you. No, what about Ziggler? Nope. He's swinging from the gallows right now. Reigns.
What about Owens?
What about him?
How about Cesaro?
Fat tub of shit. We narrowed the door so he can't get in.
And, of course, we have Paul Cesaro, who's out injured, so we're going to take that horse out the back and shoot him, too.
Yeah, if anyone should, like, normally when someone really popular comes back from injury, it's a huge burst of momentum and popularity. I guarantee you, I guarantee you he's going to win his first match back, and that's it.
Yeah, and speaking of returns, we did get a Rusev return this week.
Nobody noticed.
Pretty much. I don't think anybody cared either.
No.
That's a scary thing. Like, we're used to the whole thing of, okay, you know, it's the night after a big screw job, the heel has gone over and stolen the belt or stolen the win. He shows up on Monday to make his big victory speech. And the second he comes out, the crowd is just wanting to lynch mob this motherfucker. Sheamus came out on Monday to crickets. Like, it was so bad, they didn't even want to make noise for Sheamus. Like, it's one thing to have, like, okay, one of the things that I got taught in wrestling, one of the worst things that can ever happen to you in a match with your entrance, with your promos, is dead silence.
Well,
if they're cheering you, they're booing you, or they literally want to lynch mob you outside of the arena after the show, any reaction is good. It's when you get nothing is when you know shit's fucked up.
Well, that happens to pretty much anything. I put out videos on YouTube where, you know, generally everyone likes them. But I also put out ones where my opinion is not the popular one. But you know what? They're making noise. Even if someone links it on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere saying, look what this idiot said. At least they're talking about me. I put out videos where I put a lot of work into them to all of 6 comments in a week. And it's like, well, shit, that worked in no way, shape, or form. And those are the ones I panic about more than the ones that get me hate. Because the worst reaction, when you're trying to draw a reaction, the worst reaction you can get is nothing. And that's true of any form of entertainment.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've started learning myself recently with a lot of my gaming reviews and stuff like that, is I will pay attention to the ones that have low comments or no comments rather than the ones that have 1,000 comments with, you know, 500 of those being people that hate my guts. Because if you're not getting a reaction, you got to work out what you're doing that didn't draw a reaction and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what WWE suddenly now has the problem with. You have a champion who draws no reaction. And you have a challenger who draws very little to no attention at all. But even Reigns coming down on Monday night got fucking dead silence.
Yeah, we have, well, you're right, we have a champion who, our champion being Sheamus, who gets, you know, in professional wrestling, one of the worst types of reaction, just like legitimate disgust and disinterest, versus a challenger who has absolutely no attention whatsoever. Like, it's just apathy at this point. I think a lot of fans are just feeling defeated at this point. Not only because it's been so long since a hero was the lead of the show, not only because they keep seeing their heroes get squashed, but because this guy that we've been telling WWE for so long, we don't want Reigns. You know, Bray was right. Anyone but you, Roman. Well, until we found out Sheamus. But anyone but you, Roman. And it's just going on. You know, we are standing in the path of the oncoming juggernaut. And no matter how much we slow it down, no matter how much we rebel and try to resist it, we're going to get run over. And I think a lot of people are just suddenly just starting to accept that fact. And it's just, you know, it's heartbreaking.
It's basically people laying themselves down in front of that train, hoping that their bodies will jam it up enough to slow it down. That's what it feels like. Like, even last Sunday with Survivor Series, I was one of those people. You know, as much as I didn't want to see Roman Reigns as champion, because I know looking at him promo-wise, work rate-wise, hell, even promotional-wise, he's not ready. He's not quite there yet. You know, he hasn't found what makes him him. And looking at the roster, I'm sitting there going, who else have we got? we have no one that they're going to want to risk putting the belt on, because a lot of their guys coming into this tournament, with the exception of possibly Del Rio, everyone else was a fucking wild card.
Well, none of them have any
card guys that hadn't have the experience or the time needed to be worthy of being a champion.
Well, we don't have a top card anymore. We have a champion and someone in the mid card who gets to be challenger. That's it. No one else is at the top. No one else is booked to be superior. No one else is booked to be strong enough to be a top card contender. You have the champion and whoever the champion's about to fight next. You know, the cards are basically non-existent because everyone in the mid card gets to be even. You won last week. You lose this week, you know. If you, you know, you won on the weekdays, well, you're going to win at the you're going to lose at the pay-per-view. Everyone breaks even. Nobody looks good. Nobody is credible as a championship contender. And then when you get into a spot like this, you have nobody that is an option anymore. You know, even your cornerstones, even the people like Big Show should always be, just because of his longevity and his size, and I hate to put it that way, should always be a contender. Always. And he's such a joke now.
Yeah, I guess I'll agree with you on that one. But that's the thing. Like, the Big Show should be one of these guys who is always hovering around the main event. But he's become such a joke that nobody takes him seriously.
No. You've got please retire chance going on. That's not a good sign.
Yeah. You know, the Big Show should be done so dominant right now that he should look like the only other motherfucker besides Brock Lesnar that can kill anybody on that roster. Just due to size alone. You know, Mark Henry should be another guy. You know, longevity in the company, legit strongman background. He should be somebody who's out there destroying people. But no, he's jobbing to fucking Neville.
Yeah, and that was such a weird match, too. Like,
that was a weird pinfall, too, that popped up on Botchamania, of all places.
Yeah, I described it as a WCW pinfall, where on his way down, the ref was already slapping the mat. It looked like he was landing, but in the ref's mind, he was counting to one when he landed. So it didn't look like a three count. It was a three count. Like, I did count it out, and I saw the 1, 2, 3, but it looked really weird.
Yeah, but you know, they have these guys that you should be seeing in the main event just due to their size, their strength, and everything else. But those guys are jerks.
Yeah.
With the exception of Brock Lesnar. But again, to get Brock in, you have to pay Brock.
Yeah.
And I think Vince is pretty much sick of paying Brock.
Yeah. At this point, that is literally how bad this is booked. You can have the largest athlete in the world and someone who, you know, let's be fair, if you look at the right competition, is legitimately one of the strongest men on the planet. You have these people on your roster, and they just don't have any credibility. Why do people with these kind of credentials have no credibility?
It doesn't. Wish I knew.
Yeah.
Because if I knew, I'd be finding a way to fucking fix that company. right now, WWE has started to dig themselves into that really low part of a pit where no amount of fantasy booking or armchair booking is going to help them out of it.
Mm-hmm.
They had their chance at Survivor Series. They had their chance. Put it on Reigns, put it on Ambrose. Let's start a new generation of guys. Start bringing some of the guys from mid-card up into the main event. Start retiring some of the old card. But
yeah,
instead, we go with Sheamus, the worst of the old guard.
It's not only the worst, it's the safest. Like, it's the one person they had an excuse to throw the belt on who used to be a world title contender. Like, they had so many options to do something new, even if it was just to finally put it on Roman and get it over with and not wreck up all your, you know, other timed out plans, because now he's just going to win at TLC and it's going to seem pointless to have put it on Sheamus. You know, even you get that going for you, like, you had so much opportunity to do something new. Put it on Ambrose, who the crowd is actually in favor of. You want the whole point of stalling so much on pulling the trigger on Reigns is because they want him to get a good reaction when they finally put the belt on him. The whole reason behind giving it to Sheamus is because they knew the crowd hated Sheamus, and the one person they would cheer taking the one person that would make them cheer when they lost to Roman for the belt was Sheamus. That's how much people don't like Sheamus right now. Not because he's a good heel, but because we just don't fucking want him. They knew that going in, and that's what they're banking on for TLC. But you could have given it to someone who's already over. It makes no fucking sense.
Could you imagine what would have happened if Ambrose went over on that Survivor Series?
The place would have exploded.
You reckon the ratings would have jumped?
I don't think they would have tanked. I think it would have been, really? They did something new? You might have, I don't think, I'm not sure if they would actually boost, but I don't think you would have lost anybody. It certainly don't think you would have lost 300,000.
Yeah, it might have saved those 300,000, if anything.
Yeah, I'm going to be really interested to see what the rating is tomorrow night. Can we really blame this on just the fact that, it's Sheamus with the belt? Because if it's still low...
That's going to be the thing. Tomorrow night is going to be the real litmus test of this entire thing, because, it could be, as you said before, it could have just been one too many factors, for that particular Monday night.
Yeah.
And people just had other things that they could have watched. Whereas this week, they'll have Monday night... There will be Monday Night Football, but there won't be, award shows. There's not a really bad pay-per-view finish or anything else following it up.
My God, honestly, this was after a pay-per-view where typically the numbers are up just because people are tuning in to see what happened. What if that was a factor and it's just such a moot point that we didn't even factor that in? The rating could be lowered.
Well, as our good friend Chase in the chat room is saying, it's the Browns versus the Ravens tomorrow night, which, to be honest, even I know that's not a good matchup.
No, it's about as interesting as
WWE.
It's about as interesting as D'Lo Brown versus Raven.
Now you got me wondering what that would be like. Be right back. 2K16. But yeah, tomorrow night, the game that's on isn't all that great, so we can sort of, we'll definitely see if it's gonna be, if things drop even lower tomorrow night.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Then, yeah, we know that company is fucking really tanking hardcore.
Yeah, if it's lower, then I don't think there's, any question. It's Sheamus. It's the fact that the champion is someone nobody wants to see.
And they'll find a way to blame it on CM Punk.
Oh, God, probably.
No, they'll blame it on Ziggler and Cesaro. Or Ambrose. Let's blame it on the guys that we have in the mid-card that people actually like.
Yeah,
they can't draw for the main event that they're not on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because our Intercontinental Champion's a fat tub of shit, that Melissa Joan Hart doesn't like.
Yeah.
That's what dropped the ratings, Melissa Joan Hart.
Ah, she still has some of that Sabrina magic left.
God, can we get Clarissa to explain why the ratings are down?
I don't see she could explain that at all. with that being said, I need to go and bash my head against the wall or something. Rock, can we have a break now?
Thank you.
You're listening to WrestleTalk Radio on WildTalkRadio.com. We'll be back after these commercial messages. You have to cross the line just to remember where it lays. You won't know your worth now, son, until you take a hit. And you won't find the beat until you lose yourself in it. That's why we won't back down, we won't ride high. Yeah, cause these are the things that we can't deny.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were... Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it?
Gonna be great.
I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah!
why did I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one. Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a little problem? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my guns?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain.
I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, shoot Flex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania,
is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Amazing Kong, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to WrestleTalk Radio right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I am the man that's in the box, Mace. I am joined, as usual, by Omega. And we're going to go straight back into bashing some WWE. How does that sound?
Woo!
Because that seems to be the way of the world this week.
To be fair, it kind of does. Yeah.
It's one of those weeks that we wish we had something good to say about the product to balance out all this negativity. But we're haters, and WWE at the moment is boudet.
Like, I don't want to hate on WWE. I've been following WWE for so damn long now. I'm sorry. Like, when this product is bad, I have no qualms over pointing out how bad it is.
Indeed.
Strangely, it's like I'm a critic or something.
Yeah, some sort of critic. You know, you find those on YouTube. According to Backstage Reports, by quote-unquote sources, Lana has hate backstage, and I'm not just talking about her looks. Supposedly, due to the leaked engagement announcement, that hit TMZ and destroyed the whole Rusev, Ziggler, Lana storyline, that seems to all be backfiring on Lana, not Rusev, mind you, Lana, and also a recent Twitter battle with Paige calling Paige a bully. Also seems to have turned that heat nuclear, according to reports. Can somebody say scapegoat?
Yeah, let's see here. I'm curious.
You're curious? Or did you find something else that was more important than this type of news?
No. I was trying to remember it. I was trying to remember exactly, like, was it Rusev or Lana who posted the picture first? Because leaked, they posted it themselves.
Yeah, I think it was Lana who posted on, like, her Instagram or something.
Which is a really stupid thing to do when you're in this kind of I'm dating this guy on screen thing. In an industry that tries to pretend that what's going on in the ring is real.
Yeah, but this was like a month after the actual engagement happened, too. I'm guessing she was hoping that it would fly under the radar. Like, of all places to have it reported was TM fucking Z.
Yeah, like, the point is, why would you do it at all? Like, okay, I understand you're proud. I understand you're happy. Why, when this is, like, the whole storyline is, like, you pushing away from Ziggler? Like, everything in your character, the only thing you are doing is not being with Rusev. And you post a picture saying you're marrying Rusev.
Yeah, it's sort of very weird. Very, very weird. But it still surprises me that out of all places that this got reported, it was TMZ.
Well, it's kind of the dirt sheet place. I mean, it's not the first time I've heard them talk about wrestling.
I don't know. To me, TMZ always sort of made it that outside of, like, major news headlines, they really just treated wrestling as something that was surprisingly below them, considering that they are TMZ, the biggest trash in the universe.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, TMZ's also when they actually had a show, they had John Cena host an episode. Like, they might not regard wrestling very high, but it is a celebrity gossip magazine, and they know how popular wrestling is, especially when you have the internet wrestling community as talkative as it is.
Yeah, that's true. But so you're pretty much saying that all the heat that Lana's getting at the moment well deserved.
Like, I hate to say it, but yeah, she screwed up. You know, the same way, you know, like, okay, I, as an RVD fan, had to take my licks when he got caught stoned as hell driving the wrong way down the road. You know what? I'm an enormous RVD mark. I was so happy to see him with two world titles at the same time. I completely accept that he fucked up because he made a really stupid decision at a really crucial time in his career. Lana was due for such enormous things before this. Such enormous things. And she's going to be so lucky if she gets to keep her job past WrestleMania.
Yeah. I just find it sort of weird that she's the one who cops all the heat for it, yet, you know, I'm guessing with Rusev's return, he's getting a push?
I wouldn't call it a push. He's subservient to Sheamus. He's part of this, like, new, like, United Nations faction we have going on.
Yeah, true. I guess teaming with Sheamus and Barrett isn't exactly what you call a push.
Yeah, yeah, okay, your second banana to Sheamus. Okay, compared to
No, third banana behind Barrett.
Third banana. Okay, good point. This is compared to what started as, like, the undefeated Bulgarian brute hero to the Russian nation, Vladimir Putin, etc. And, like, being able to stop the unstoppable John Cena. Like, he had a monster debut. And now he's, you know, third fiddle.
And, you know, the crowd got behind him, so they took him behind the back of the castle and shot him.
Courtyards piling up.
Too many heads on pikes.
That really is what it is. You know, we are staring at the castle of WWE, and it is the castle of Vlad Tepes, the Impaler. And it's just pikes with heads of Ziggler and Ambrose and Daniel Bryan and everyone else that we have loved and wanted to see succeed.
And yet just as reminders, Seth Rollins and Sheamus.
Just as reminders, we know what's best for you.
Oh, good God.
This is what happens when you choose your heroes.
Yeah, we should rename Monday Night Raw to Game of Thrones and just be done with it. All our favorite characters keep getting killed off, or injured, or written off television, or de-pushed. How many different ways can you say this shit ain't happening?
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. So there's no point on even touching on the whole Twitter battle with Paige, saying Paige is a bully.
I don't even know why that became a thing. Isn't Paige supposed to be a heel?
Supposed to be, yes. Successfully, depends.
So what is bad? Like, okay, outside of her, it's like talking shit that happens inside the performance center, like, you know, completely forgetting we have a behind-the-scenes show all about the performance center now.
I got nothing. I'm like WWE creative. I got nothing.
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, what in the WWE does anyway? Really?
Pretty much. So yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, Paige as a successful heel. I'm like, not really. Here's the thing about Paige.
Okay? There we go.
Here's the thing about Paige. I'm going to make sure I take myself off Push to Talk for this. She can't even heal it up when she is the villain in a movie. Okay? I recently sat down and watched Santa's Little Helper. Why? Because it's close enough to Christmas so I can start putting on the movies. And I did a full-blown review of this over on theouterhaven.net that you can go and read. But to give you the cliff points, The Miz has found his niche in these type of movies. He seems to play this really uppity everyman character extremely well, and I can't flaw his performance in the movie at all.
Wow.
So, for the first time in quite a while, I'm actually praising The Miz.
Awesome.
You know, so if he ever decides to give up wrestling, he has a great director-DVD career ahead of him. Paige, on the other hand...
He can be Steven Seagal.
Hey, Seagal makes money off those movies, man. I'm not good. I wouldn't be complaining.
It's easy when the movies cost about $8 to make.
Yeah. Yeah, true. But with Paige, it's like she went straight from Raw to the movie set and forgot to realize that she's supposed to be playing a different character. Like, if you cringe at Paige's delivery of promos...
Oh, yeah.
You're going to cringe every moment she is on screen.
I cringe at This Is My House every time she screams it.
Surprisingly enough, that was not one of her lines. But, yeah, like, seeing her in this, it was just like, you have no acting chops whatsoever.
No.
Like, I'm not an actor at all, and I could probably have done a better job than she could. And, oh, it hurts so bad to watch her fucking, like, you know how they say that some actors or actresses are so bad that they sit there and chew the scenery?
Yeah.
She was at an all-you-can-eat buffet. Like, load-bearing walls were disappearing when this bitch was on screen. It was that bad. And...
God, even, like... I don't even... God, I... You've just done everything it would take to actually turn me off from watching this movie. Like...
This is MST3K worthy. Trust me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And that's coming back. Maybe they can review WWE movies.
Oh, that would be so fucking funny.
I can't stand Paige as a heel. Like, as a face, she can be kept a few enough words, but as a heel, she's just whiny. I don't even think she means to be whiny. It just happens.
Yeah, well, that was her performance in this. It was just whiny. Like, I will still suggest if you can find an hour to... Like, I know it's impossible for you to actually find an hour.
Yeah, good
to
luck.
Sit there and actually watch
Especially
something.
This time of year.
Especially at this time of year.
Dude, we hang up. I've got like 3 hours of scripting before I can even go to bed.
Don't you worry. Coming up on WWE Week on the USA Network on, you know, December 20th, Sunday night, 8 p.m., they're showing Santa's Little Helper on USA.
There you go. Maggie, you can have it on in the background while you edit or something.
Before the show, you could prepare for this show by watching that.
Joy.
To the world. Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Did you just not miss the last 5 minutes where I've panned the shit out of this thing already?
No, I avoided it because I want to actually watch the movie without hearing anything about it.
Okay, because I've watched it, reviewed it.
No
on
spoilers.
That shit already.
I know.
No spoilers for Santa's Little Helper.
I know. I want to watch it because it looks really awful, and I want to see it in all its awfulness. So, yeah. I don't want to be
like
spoiled.
Shit. I don't want it ruined for me.
I don't.
Don't tell me it's good. What the fuck are you doing?
I watched the Dean Ambrose movie. That was a struggle. So
I haven't seen the Dean Ambrose movie yet.
The struggle.
Don't spoil it.
I'm not. Anyway.
Yeah. So the plot of Santa's Little Helper is.
La 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 la.
Does Santa need help? Is that the plot?
Is it some type of porno where he needs a little help getting his thing up?
Oh god, no.
Oh god, no. Why did you put that metal image in my head?
No, not with the...
I'm the myth and I'm awesome.
Oh good god.
I can go back to...
I can't tradition... I'm done. One of you guys fucking take control of this show.
I can stop. I can go back to being quiet now if you want.
No, please. Take over control for like 5-10 minutes. I'm... No. I need to scrub my brain out with bleach.
Just don't hurt yourself taking out the trash, because we've talked about this story many, many times, and it's in the news again.
Smooth.
I know. Good at this. Do it often. So, Randy Orton needs, you know, shoulder surgery, and he also apparently needs neck surgery, which could force him out of action a few more months afterwards.
He can't even get the shoulder surgery. He can't even get the neck surgery until the shoulder surgery is completely healed.
Yes. Which he had to wait to get the shoulder surgery because he had to get married first. So, you prolong the time frame just a little bit more. Because of he just got married last weekend. By the way, congrats to Santino, he just got married.
Yay!
It's on WWE.com.
See, it seems to be that time of year, all the wrestlers are getting married. They'll be divorced in 6 months, but they're getting married.
They are getting married. So yeah, we talk a lot about injuries with wrestlers, Daniel Bryan, for one. Is it working to the point where can we no longer rely on Randy Orton to be healthy?
We couldn't before. Like, he was injury prone before. Like, before they even pushed him to the top of the card, I think he had, like, two injuries behind him at that point.
Yeah, Orton definitely has been injury prone for quite a while. He's another one of these guys who's just been destroyed by wear and tear. And as we've joked about many times, he jobs to a trash bag of all things that is now going to take him out for an extra 3 to 6 months after, with the neck surgery as well as shoulder surgery. So, you know, I still want to book that trash bag at WrestleMania. But that just goes to show how much wear and tear is on Randy Orton's body, is that something as simple as that has not only fucked up his shoulder, it's aggravated his neck as well.
I don't think it's
he's had a neck injury before, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I don't think the shoulder and the injury and the neck injury are connected. It's just he's been battling through it.
How heavy was that fucking trash bag?
I don't know. You know, as they say, you know, shoulder bones connected to the neck bone.
But he's also had degenerative shoulders for a long time. He's had half surgery.
Yeah, keep in mind, the shoulder he blew out doing his little pound the mat thing.
Mm-hmm. He's always had those shoulder problems, so.
He gets injured to the weirdest shit. Smashing your fist against the mat, a trash bag. Can't he just do something like a normal wrestler, you know? Screw up a flipping something or other, or going through a table or something.
Yeah, or break your arm for 2 years.
We'll play it.
Oh, I swear, he better come back in like a neck cast and a shoulder brace. And just wear that 24/7.
Yeah, hey, wear for the rest of his career.
In other news, Brad Maddox was released from WWE, apparently after he made a comment on the SmackDown tapings, calling people cocky pricks.
Oh no, he was being a heel. We better get rid of him.
My gut tells me, for Mad Braddox, as his new name is Mad Braddox. That's awful. But I guess this was the final straw that broke the camel's back, or when you're so low on the total pole, don't give them a reason to, you know, notice you at this point.
I guess at this point, when your new highlight of your career is being Adam Rose's tag partner with an emo gimmick.
No. Get this right. His biggest highlight, the highlight that he'll always be remembered for, is being the turkey that got tombstoned on The Tonight Show by The Undertaker.
Uh-huh.
That's not a bad way to go out, to be honest.
No, that's the last time anyone really heard of Brad Maddox, and they didn't even acknowledge that he was a wrestler. But still, everyone knew, at least who was a wrestling fan, knew, hey, that was Brad Maddox as a turkey.
Which, to be fair, to take the only time that, Undertaker's, well, I can't say that. I was going to say the only time he's tombstoned someone outside of a WWE ring. No, I've seen a Bollywood movie where he's tombstoned somebody. It's fucking weird.
Didn't we review that movie or riff
that
movie?
We reviewed the wrestling match like it was an actual wrestling match. It was against Crush.
Yes, I remember that. Fun times.
They had, like, the stupid eagle every time he opened his eyes. Oh, my God. I need to go back and see the whole movie. I'm missing something.
So you have time to watch that, but not Santa's Little Helper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think the Bollywood movie is going to be better than Santa's Little Helper.
Well, now you have to watch both and judge
and compare the two.
Compare the two. That's exactly what you need to do. I figured you guys talked enough about Roman Reigns in the first 50 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
So, not Omega. Mace brought up in our little production chat a couple days ago, Wesley Blake got arrested back, I guess, in July?
Yeah, he was arrested for a DUI. And he refused the breath test, which led to the arrest. It's funny, that happened around the same time that they mysteriously lost the tag team titles.
Yeah, like a few weeks later, they lost the belts.
Yeah, it's almost like some things you do outside of the ring have repercussions.
Huh. Kinda.
God damn you, Wesley. I just sort of saw that, and I'm like, of course, I really couldn't care less about Wesley Blake. I was more worried about Matt.
Right.
Or Buddy Murphy, his tag team partner.
My buddy.
Sorry.
My buddy.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm sorry. I still look at him and I still see Matt. Sorry.
So why are you worried about Buddy Murphy?
Because he's one of the very few Australians that have gone into that company with actual skill.
Yeah.
And, you know, with enough training on the promos, he could actually be somebody in the company.
Yeah.
And, you know, when your tag partner fucks up enough that you go from starting to get over as a tag team, as the NXT Tag Team Champions, to being second fiddle to Alexa Bliss, yeah, you sort of look at Wesley Blake and go, you did this, you fucking bastard.
But on the plus side, Murphy's dating Alexa Bliss. Evens
yeah,
out.
That's a good thing.
So, you know, can't really feel too bad for him, just saying. There you go. We're going to take a break, quick one, like 90 seconds worth of time out. When we come back, well, we got other things to talk about, including quick hits. And, well, when we come back, it will be a new day. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You're listening to five times NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrapper Adam Pearce, and this is the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, it is.
It is a new day, and we are back. WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And, well, 1 year of the New Day, and they were country on Raw.
Kinda.
Except
they tried.
They tried, and Kofi, I like how the one person on Twitter, I forget who it was, oh my god, I can't believe they broke, Kofi broke character and said, you know, country sucks.
It was a little, I did kind of pause at that line where he said, this isn't even my character.
Yeah.
Really?
This is me, the person. I don't like country.
I'm surprised that they even still consider themselves characters anymore. Because anyone who watches Xavier's little YouTube channel thing, they're like that away from the ring, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Well, it's kind of weird they even carry it that way anymore, considering you go to that YouTube channel. And, like, the new episode has, like, Bray Wyatt watching the game with them.
Which was awesome, by the way.
Like, just him sitting there.
Is that the Street Fighter game between Miz and Xavier?
Yeah.
I haven't watched that yet.
Oh.
It's bizarre, because it's, like, so many people who should not be around each other just hanging out together in casual clothing. Like Bray Wyatt just sitting there laughing at the game. It's weird.
It's weird. Like, it's awesome. And the fact that his brother is 5 feet away. Yeah,
Bo's there too. Like, it's bizarre to watch because, like, okay, there's some stuff on the network that, like, doesn't take kayfabe very seriously. Like, okay, Table for Three,
right,
which tells all the road stories and out-of-character things. And they try to keep to their names, but they're talking like actual people, so they forget the character names a lot,
yes,
which is actually great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's things like that that kind of put kayfabe aside in order to do something real. Xavier's YouTube channel takes kayfabe out to the back alley and beats it with a tire iron.
Big Wool.
Big Wool, Big
Keep
Wool.
Keep it tight, my daddy.
He's so creepy. Just
saying. He's creepy as hell, but fuck, he's hilarious.
I'm not denying that. He's just creepy.
And, like to see some of those guys on that YouTube channel, like, Kalisto playing video games with them, it was like, wow. And Heath Slater's a bitch. We've all learned this.
We've learned this. Miz is actually entertaining playing the video games.
That's one thing I was saying to Omega last segment. The Miz is more entertaining away from wrestling than he is during wrestling.
Because during wrestling, he's scripted, and away from wrestling, he's not.
Which kind of proves that they just need to let people do what they're good at rather than making them be characters.
Yeah.
No one has ever looked at pro wrestling and said, wow, that is some great acting.
But yeah, that Madden tournament there.
Can't wait for the finals to come out. Good. I wonder if could they have taped that in overseas? Maybe?
I assume they have to tape it on the road, so.
Well, they taped the semifinals over there. I'm wondering if they were able to tape the finals because, you know, the champ, as he's referred to there, that's when he got hurt. So.
Well, that goes to show how much this channel means to the guys that backstage. You know, Seth had only just fucked his knee up.
And then suddenly
he's popped up on the gaming channel to play his Madden games.
Yeah, he's saying that it was probably the next day he's injured. He's saying they're playing Madden. That's awesome.
The power of video games. But swing this back, New Day anniversary. Okay, 12 months ago when this group debuted, would anyone have sat here and thought that these guys would be as over there as they are 12 months later?
Better question, 6 months ago.
Yeah, even 6 months ago.
Like, it started at WrestleMania, so that's about, six, 7 months ago. It just started then. And going into Mania, they were dead. And then they got revived at Mania, and they've been entertaining since.
Yeah. Like, it's amazing to see just how much they have done with how little they were given. Like, I used to... it's one of those times where you just let them go, and you can tell they're getting so into what they are doing that they're just completely turning it around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's... it's something I try to convey to people who ask me, like, to start up videos, is make sure you're enjoying what you are doing because it's the one tangible element you can get across on camera. And that's exactly what they are doing. I can tell, like, when Roman Reigns is out there, he's reading a fucking script. He's reading lines, and he's doing what he's being told to do. Michael Cole is being told to do what he's doing, and he is just doing what he is told. And you can pick up on that so much. Those guys are out there having fun, doing whatever they want to do, and it's so refreshing compared to everything else because I know these guys are genuinely into their character.
Yeah, and to give you an idea, like these guys, not even 6 months ago, you wouldn't have looked at them and said that there'd be no merchandise, they would just be sitting around doing nothing. Next thing you know, they've just released another t-shirt for them. This is the third t-shirt that they've got.
Mm-hmm. They have now a Christmas ornament featuring them.
Yeah.
On a Christmas
ornament. They're selling socks.
And to their credit, they're no longer selling the socks because they've been sold out.
They sold out socks. Name me the last wrestler that got socks over.
Mick Foley.
Okay.
Touche. Touche.
Point.
And even Point. Then, that was quite a while ago. Oh, good God.
God, but, I'm impressed, like, actually.
Even Nick Diddy in the chat room is saying, like, why haven't we got New Day unicorns yet?
They're probably in the works.
Yeah. Like, well,
Where is the collaboration between the New Day and My Little Pony? Like, I could see them actually in the show as well. Just like three unicorns with capes on in the New Day colors or something in the background. It could happen. That show is stupid enough that it could actually happen.
Kind of is.
But, and to answer Nick's question, he's asking us, you know, if they sold unicorns, would we buy one? Dude, I want to buy everything that is New Day on that goddamn shop. It just cost me an arm and a leg to get it sent here. Like, I want the shirts, I want the socks, I want the Christmas ornaments. It's like, yeah, I went and tried to total that stuff up, even with the Black Friday sales with 25% off, which, again, oh my God, Omega, watch SmackDown if you can get a hold of it, just because they pimp the Black Friday sale, and it is awesome.
Okay.
But even with the Black Friday stuff, like with shipping, it was just so expensive for me to send stuff over. It makes me cry because I want the New Day stuff.
God.
Like, they got fucking unicorns over and socks. Sense no make.
They're gonna be selling. They're gonna be selling foam horns. You know, God. Which reminds me, what the fuck, Kofi? Your hair. I thought hair was Xavier's thing.
He one-upped him.
Yeah, he definitely did. Considering the last couple of weeks, we've been getting Red Dwarf references. Just, yeah. Kofi, what the fuck, dude? I'm waiting for Big E to, like, grow hair again so he can do something with it.
He's got to get a big afro wig and just sort of mess around with it.
But, like, think about the history in WWE. Has anyone else gotten such a dumb gimmick over so well? Like, has anyone been given so little and gotten so much out of it?
Woo, woo, woo.
Zack Ryder.
You know it.
Santino Marella.
It did get him on TV. No, I wouldn't even say Santino did this.
No, Zack Ryder got him the U.S. title. It got him the U.S. title.
It got him the U.S. title, but it also got him completely squashed by Kane and shit on in that whole feud where he got no retribution or payback whatsoever. He was just Kane's bitch the whole time.
And then
nothing.
And then came Eve's bitch. And, well, now he's a hype bro. So,
he's a tag team partner in NXT. But, like, normally my go-to one is, like, Big Vito, who's just given, like, the worst gimmick of all time. You're going to go out there and wrestle in a dress because you're a big guy and you're wearing a dress and that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
To somebody, not me, I don't know.
Yeah, I do dress like... It's funny when they don't embrace it.
Well, it was supposed to be like a... It was supposed to be just like a stupid gag gimmick that you put on a mid-carder you don't know what to do with. But he got it over.
Yes.
He got way more over than he should have ever gotten on that gimmick. It was kind of incredible. And New Day has done better. Because they were given... Like, at least... That was a dumb starting point, but at least, like, there's something there. The New Day was given, we're positive. That was it. That was all they had. We clap and we are positive. And that is literally being given nothing.
By the way, thanks to Big Vito, we now know a jobber is a temporary worker or temporary wrestler used on an as-needed basis, essentially as a prop to lose to more prominent wrestlers. We've learned that thanks to Big Vito and his lawsuit against WWE. Thanks, Big Vito. Thanks. Oh, man. Alright, so that's the New Day. You guys basically talked about all the WWE's problems earlier, right?
Pretty much. Well, not all of them.
I mean, there's a lot.
We stopped talking eventually.
Which means we'll go to the other discussion, because why rehash stuff you've already covered? And we're going to do a throwback to this.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Tonight I will.
You know, I've been wondering why I didn't feel any kind of burning hatred for this show lately. Starting to remember.
Hey, it's a night of old clips, so who is the greatest booker in wrestling history?
T.
Really?
Omega.
Greatest booker?
Greatest booker.
Oh, boy. Can we count different... can we count McMahon in different decades?
Yeah, you can...
Because the current... Because Vince has a chance at that in the 90s, in the late 90s. He does not have a chance at that now.
So, I want to interrupt you, and Omega's going to kill me for a second. Sports. Another Brock is about to break a streak, as the Broncos are on the verge of being the Patriots. Just saying. Anyway.
Are you going to beat the Pats?
Yeah.
I have somebody to rub it into on Facebook. Be right back.
It's not over yet. You got time. They're on the verge of scoring and beating them. But another Brock is going to beat a streak. I just find that perfect, you know. Anyway, segueing back.
Completely going over my head.
Sports ball.
So you want to break McMahon's brilliance down to errors. Is that what you're saying? Or years, however you want to describe it.
Pretty much. What do we count as Booker? Because at one some of the Attitude Era can be credited to Vince Russo, of all people. Sickening as that thought is.
This is true.
But at the time, we had people who could reel him in and go, okay, but what about this? And actually refine, actual plausible ideas. Because we know what happens when Vince has nobody holding him back.
Right. So you have Vince, but who else would you put in the line of great bookers?
I'm asking who counts as a booker.
Anyone who's been in some era of creative in some fashion. It's very not helpful, but that's how...
It's very not helpful, because technically that includes Raven.
You can consider the
Yeah,
Raven.
I was about to say, Johnny Polo comes to mind.
You can credit him as the greatest booker.
I would put it down to Jim Cornette.
Okay.
Because... And a lot of this has to do with the fact that you can go and pick up this nice little thing from kayfabe commentary called The History of WWE, in which the two-disc 1997 version is Jim Cornette with his booking notes for the entire year of 97, and he even shows that he has, the folders for 96 and 98. So during some of WWE's peak periods, he was the guy sitting there with the book. But then again, if we're just going with people who have also booked, we can also put that down to Kevin Sullivan and Kevin Nash. So, again, we need some sort of defined point of what we consider a booker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you consider a booker to be?
Someone who was... I would say a head writer for one of the major promotions. Okay, we can count Raven. He did a little bit on the side, but that was never what he primarily did. He kind of just did it for a while. It would have to be someone who had major creative influence in WWE for a substantiated amount of time. Or, WCW and all that, too.
I was about to say, as much as we give him shit, I have never discounted Eric Bischoff and his booking ability in the 90s. Modern day, yeah, the dude's a fucking moron. But back in the 90s, he was actually a really creative guy.
That just seems to be the general rule of it, doesn't it? In their time, a lot of these bookers were really, really good. Vince McMahon, Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff, but all of them get very set in their ways. And when the audience and the times change, it's very rare you have a booker that changes with them.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy, if we're going to talk in those kind of terms, the one guy I would actually put into that category is Paul Heyman. Because he had his finger on the pulse. He knew what people wanted in ECW. You know, it took an audience from WWE to make that edgier brand of wrestling popular, though.
Right.
It's just not something, you know, he knew what the audience was going to take to. He just didn't have the major network or major money to put it out to the masses. When he had the book on SmackDown, you know, decade later, mm-hmm. it was one of the best runs SmackDown had.
This is true. Which a lot of that's on the network right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things on the network. They put up like NWA stuff from the 80s recently that everybody is praising.
Yeah, they are.
It's crazy. But yeah, I'd say if you sort of want to go under the definition of booker and you want to extend it to somebody who has like their finger on the pulse and could change with the times, you can't go past Paul Heyman.
So is Paul Heyman the greatest of all the times?
I'd say no. Here's the thing, if you want to say greatest booker, even with all of his flaws over years and years, Vince McMahon is still the greatest booker of all time. Because think about it, after all these other bookers have come and gone, who's the only one left standing? Vince.
The richest one.
Yeah, he's the one who made the money. He's the one who made his brand the biggest one in the world, so big that it is the dominant force that nobody can touch with a 50-foot pole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though, and you think about it, even with Paul Heyman hitting his stride with SmackDown, he was still reporting to Vince and Stephanie.
Yes.
So even then, Vince had the final word. So, yeah, as much as I love the way Jim Cornette wrote his stuff, as much as I give Eric Bischoff credit, as much as Paul Heyman has done some amazing things in two different eras of wrestling, you've still got to give it up to Vince McMahon. He's the one who's still around. He's the one who's still employed. And when you look at these other guys, who have they all ended up working under? Vince.
This is true.
Got to give the devil his due.
Do you agree, Omega?
I would say Vince is just not the guy anymore. I don't think Vince has had a creative spark in a good decade, probably.
Right.
But it is kind of hard to refute success.
Yes, it is.
And Chase, we are not discounting Dusty Rhodes, but again, you know, who eventually did Dusty end up working under? You know, Dusty ended his career in NXT. Again, it's still under the WWE umbrella.
Yeah, you want to talk really good bookers? I mean, who's got the book in NXT?
It was Dusty and Trips.
No, I do name Ryan Ward is actually the one booking of all names.
Is he the one who took over after Dusty?
No, he was the guy before Dusty even passed. He was the guy. Ryan Ward's been the guy. It wasn't Dusty. It was Ryan Ward, this dude. I think his name's Ryan Ward.
Yeah. Give an honorable mention because with all of the management wants Eva Marie to win the belt, he still has finger on the pulse enough to make her lose. Thank God. I've never been so happy to read NXT spoilers.
Oh, I mentioned this on the radio because, like, watching those spoilers live the week prior is like, please, please, please. Reading the tweets.
God.
Please don't have it happen. Please.
You know what?
Please.
Like, seriously, like, watching the live spoilers, like, get refreshed, it was seriously like, I remember back waiting for results to come up when we were on scrambled pay-per-views. It's like, please God, don't let Triple H win the title tonight. Please don't let Triple H win the title. Ah, fuck.
Alright, I was reading, because I was watching the live tweets, because there's a hashtag people use, it's like, please, please, please don't happen. Please don't happen. Please. I was like, oh, thank God.
Hashtag anyone but Eva.
Anyone but Eva. King Kins is upset, though, because, you know, that's his girl.
All botch, hey, everything.
If you just want someone to look at, that's okay, it's hard to go wrong. I want someone who can actually do something in the fucking company, in the business that she's in. Like, I'm so, like,
hey,
okay, like, I...
Best chain in wrestling.
I feel bad for Eva because she's obviously put in a lot of work. She just has absolutely no talent for the business in any way, shape, or form. It's not, she's just not meant to be in the WWE. She's absolutely not.
Yeah, look, I haven't watched NXT. I'm actually going to watch it after we finish the show. But I heard there's one guy that you have to keep an eye on in the crowd who spends the entire Bayley versus Eva match reading a book.
I did not notice that.
Oh, I have to go watch now. Oh my god, that's brilliant.
That's what I was told to watch out for, this one guy. Supposedly he's on hard camera side. I can't remember exactly where, but supposedly he spends the entire match reading a book.
Well played, sir. Well played.
If that doesn't say volumes about somebody not giving a shit about an Eva Marie match, I don't know what does.
God, now I'm curious what the book is. I really hope it's something meta enough to be like Controversy Creates Cash from Bischoff.
I don't think it's an NXT crowd, so...
Yeah, but you have to admit, if that was planned out, it's like, hey, I'm going to go see the Eva Marie Bayley match, and everyone in the dirt sheets says they want the title on Eva, I'm just going to read a book the whole fucking time and see what happens. Like, someone who could come up with that plan could make it, that could have that last little touch of, let's fuck off. Like, it's probably not, but I would laugh my ass off. I would never stop laughing.
I agree with you. 100%.
Okay, found him. I've just grabbed the video from the YouTube channel. He's in a green shirt, just off. You'll see a big dude in one of those How You Doin' shirts. Next to him is a guy in I'm a Hugger. Dude in green shirt, bald head, reading a book.
Yeah, I'm watching. I put up the feed now. He's reading a book. He is. He is legit right there. Now that's all you see. He's right. If you watch, when you watch the match, he's to the right of Nia Jax. This is the best way to describe it, his location. Yeah. Now it's the only thing I see during the match, because I was actually watching the match. I was like not looking at the crowd, because I try to ignore the crowd when watching the match. And yeah, so there you go.
Every time they cut the hard camera, all I can see now is this guy reading the book.
Yeah, it's all I can see now.
I want to know what he was reading.
Like, can someone zoom in and find out what he's reading?
Can we get, like, okay, blow it up on, like, the Super HD feed? Does anyone have that? God, that would be, hysterical. Of course, it is a university, so it could be any number of books he actually has.
It's like a green cover book or yellow, something like that?
It's a yellow cover book, so I have no idea.
Wrestling for Dummies?
That would be funny.
That's Eva.
That is Eva. That is, you know. If anyone can make it out, please tweet us at Wild Talk Radio and let us know what the dude in the front row of NXT was actually reading. Wish it would be like they zoom right in on the guy. Nope, they're not going to do that. Anyway.
No, they're not going to draw attention to that.
I'm reading through the top comment on the actual video is, anybody notice the guy in the green shirt in the bottom left corner reading the book of the entire match? Nobody even tries to work out what the book is. We need to know what that book is. If anyone who goes to Full Sail listens to this podcast.
Yeah, if you're in Full Sail University, you know this son of a bitch.
Yeah, if you know this guy, tweet us at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter with the book title. We want to find out what was so goddamn interesting.
To be fair, it was an Eva Marie match, so it doesn't have to be that interesting to distract.
But Bayley was in the match, though.
This is true. But really, we had Sasha and Bayley twice. Like, what other match do you really need in your life?
Okay, the book starts with the phrase, the best something. That's what I can make out so far. The best something.
Is it Bret Hart's book?
It might be Jericho's book.
I don't think Jericho had one that said the best. Like, he had Lionheart.
I have no idea, but can somebody get a hold of Nia Jax?
No.
Supposedly, like, she is actually having a go at this guy at some point.
I think it's Chris Jericho's book. Because Chris Jericho's book was called The Best in the World at What I Have No Idea.
Oh, right.
That's the book. That's gotta be the book.
Okay, so they actually brought a wrestling book. I will give them credit.
Yeah, it looks like, it does say the word. Seeing the actual cover of Chris Jericho's book, that's what he's reading. He's reading Chris Jericho's book.
Okay, he's prepared. I like this. Because I mean, at a university, he could whip out any old textbook happens to be in his backpack at the time.
But this is not a guy who is, this is an older gentleman. He's not like a young kid.
He could be taking courses.
He could be. But no, it's the Chris Jericho book. Because now that I look at it, it says the best, and I'm making up the word world there. It's cut off a little bit, but that would be the Chris Jericho book. How about that?
That's awesome.
We investigated this thing.
You heard it here first.
So if you really wanted to know, there you go. Now you know.
Knowing is about five minutes of your time wasted.
Quick, let's send this to all the news sites. We worked out the book.
Chris Jericho makes a cameo at NXT.
In published form.
exclusive news right here.
I don't even have to tell you any site. As soon as I say that, you know exactly. You know a website that would brand it that way. Chris Jericho surprise return at NXT.
And yeah, you are 100% correct, Rock. It is the best in the world because at one point he holds up a bit higher, and you can see the pose Jericho does on that front cover.
There you go. There you go.
And to make it even better, I've just sent it in our production chat so you can see the cover.
So, we can figure this shit out.
We are is good investigator, yes?
Yes, we are. With that being said, it's time for Quickets.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Well, the American Thanksgiving just happened, so I'm asking these two questions to these two gentlemen. And we'll start with Mace first. What are you most thankful for in wrestling?
The New Day!
Omega?
I don't want to say the same thing. Because it genuinely is one of the only reasons I watch Raw anymore. Okay, there's a thought I will run with.
We can be thankful for the same thing. It's okay.
We can. I want to be different. I can be thankful for the cost of tickets to India. That seems mean-spirited.
It does.
But fuck them.
Mace, what are you least thankful for in wrestling?
Sheamus is world champion.
Omega?
Everything beginning and ending with the Authority.
There you go. And the streak is broken.
So Lindsay going to cry every time I mention this one?
The Patriots lose. The Patriots lose. Oh, a glorious day it is. Yeah. Anyway, this will do it for WTR Sunday Night live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network tomorrow night, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. It is Wrestle Talk Radio. Not Wrestle Talk Radio. What am I saying? Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. I have no idea what I'm doing at the moment. I was bad last night at 3 a.m. trying to plug things. Bad now. Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Everything happens on Monday Night Raw. We'll recap it Thursday. It's a special edition of the Rack, a podcast-only edition. Not live, podcast-only. As we'll be talking with the unbeaten, undefeated, rightful TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Ethan Carter III. We'll talk all about the move to Pop TV. Check it out, the Rack, special edition, podcast-only, Thursday afternoon. RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show, RackRadioShow.com, all that fun stuff. Saturday Night Midnight this is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter, CBRadioLive.com, #BlameRob, When a Celebrity Dies. We'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, the preview of WWE Tables, Letters, and Chairs. Oh my. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Mace.
Yes, you can follow me on the Twitter machine at The Mace Singh. You can also check out everything I do video game wise over at TheOuterHaven.net and also YouTube.com/WTRGamesGarage, where I'll eventually be posting videos again once I get back to working on them. I have Omega-itis.
Yeah, not really.
Oh my god.
I've got about 5 videos I'm sitting there that I need to work on, and I'm not really doing much work.
Yeah.
And there's the death class.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, over on my YouTube channel, where I have new content every single weekday, I'm also gearing up for my annual Toy-cember Marathon, so I have 31 videos I'm working on.
Only 31?
31, on top of the 13 random reviews I'll be posting, on top of 8 live streams I will be doing, on top of anything else I decide to do.
Man, you're going to be busy in December.
Yeah! See, if I'm less sociable than usual, you'll know why.
I didn't hear any I'll Be Watching Santa's Little Helper and all that.
No, you did not.
We will make him. We will make him.
But you can check that channel out over at YouTube, TJ Omega. TJ Omega is also the handle over on Twitter if you are so inclined to follow me. TJ Omega is the website for the exclusive videos that I still need to get reposted. And if you still use the Facebook, it is TJ Reviews. Because that's what I do. I review.
You review? I did not know.
Believe it or not.
Wow. It's amazing.
Newfangled thing.
Wow. Incredible. Incredible. Buy Tim Stein's book. The book, From the Man Kitchen, available now at the Man Kitchen TV, or at Man Kitchen TV on Twitter, mankitchentv.com, for more information. How you can buy the book, I believe it's shop at Man Kitchen TV, is how you can buy it. Mankitchentv.com. Shop at mankitchentv.com. Get it all out there for Tim. Buy his book, handmade. You can get a PDF as well if you so choose. Again, contact Tim. He can set you up from the Man Kitchen. Recipes and all the like from Tim Stein. Get this on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Just search out Wild Talk Radio Network. Again, be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And thanks to PWVania.com for, you know, all the news and the like. So for Mace and Omega, I'm Rock. We'll see you along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network all week long on WildTalkRadio.com.